it's so easy to be a chicken Christian. A chicken Christian, one who has, who recognizes the things that God wants them to do, but fails to do it. Unfortunately, there are many chicken Christians around. If you take your Bibles and look there at Joshua 23 and verses 24, you're finding the end of the life of Joshua. The fact that Joshua now will see the, Joshua at the end of his life, ready to hand the job over to those who are following him. And as he does this, he has to encourage them the way that he was encouraged. In fact, if you look at chapter 23, verse 6, it says, "Therefore be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left." That is the same thing he was told earlier. If you were to go back in Joshua 1, and you'll see the same sort of thing. In verse 7, it says three times, verse 6, 7, and 9, to be strong and courageous, but verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do all according to what is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success." The things that was told by God to Joshua are the things that he is telling to those who are following him, that they must be strong and they must be courageous. They must make sure that they are holding to God's law, to God's word. And as chicken Christians, we can be strong and courageous when we hold on to God's promises, hold on to his word, make sure that we are observing to do his word both day and night. We talked about, over this week, and we talked about being the disciple. A disciple of Jesus Christ. And what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? What does God say you must do? And so we talked about when Jesus said to his disciples, "If you will come after me, if you desire to come after me, you must first deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." In order to be a disciple of Christ, disciple means learner, we need to learn God's word, we need to exemplify God's word, and we need to live God's word out in our life. Jesus took his disciples, he taught them, he exemplified what they should do, and he sent them out and to do the same sort of thing. Joshua was here taken and told, "Look, this is what you've got to do. Take God's law, apply it to your heart, and then go and perform it as you're telling others, and then as you're being strong and courageous with the confidence, not in yourself." That's what the world teaches. The world teaches you can do it. I saw some of the games last night. Watched a great game last night. Ohio State and who they play? Ohio State and whoever they played. Northwestern. They played Northwestern. It was a really good game. I didn't get to watch the Nebraska game, but I heard that we did like what we should do is smear the other team, which is always good. I watched the game. It was a great game. And then they showed a clip, and they had "Trust Yourself." Some kid holding a sign saying "Trust Yourself" as the kids were leaving the arena, and they would at halftime, and they'd hit that "Trust themselves." Jesus does this. God doesn't say "Trust yourself." God says "Trust Him." And that's what we must do in order to be strong and courageous. We're ending this series the same way we began it, with the theme of be strong and courageous. It's been our theme throughout, and it has to be repeated to us. Do you ever notice how many times Jesus repeats something to his followers? It's cheating if you take and say, well, he said it in Matthew and Mark and in Luke. That's cheating. Because they're different accounts, they're the same, different authors of the same account. But you go through there and he says to trust him. He says, oh, you of little faith. We are his disciples, and we look at our life and we get scared, we get nervous, we see the storms of life. When instead of being strong and courageous in the Lord, we're weak and afraid in our own strength. We have to stop trusting ourselves and trusting Christ. Here he is giving them a swan song. He's old. It's kind of fun to see when you look at the scriptures and the way that describes the folks here. The end of verse 1, it says that Joshua was old and advanced in age. I'm glad I'm not old yet. That's not till next year. Actually, I decided it's 45, not 40. It's great when you can arbitrarily just choose what age is old. Verse 2, Joshua called for all of Israel, for their elders, and for the heads, and for the judges, for their officers, and said to them, I'm old and advanced in age. He says, you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all the nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. Consider all the things that God has done. And when you go through there, you see all the many things that he has done. I come down here and grab this. This was your job. I got brain cancer, because it was, can't be my fault. All the things that that God has done for them. And God has done no little thing for you. If you go through here, he goes through and he says how that God has helped them conquer all these nations. Even if you go back to Egypt, he says that, see, I have divided you the inheritance that God has promised you. And the Lord, he will expel all of the people out of the country as long as they're strong and courageous in the Lord. Consider what he has done. We see that the work that God has done is such that it shows the Jews, the Israelites, a few different things. It shows that he is the living God. This is important. Consider this, because in verse 7, he says in verse 6, to keep God's law. Verse 7, lest you go among these nations, who remain among you, and you shall not make mention of the name of their gods. You see, they've got gods too. You're in a land where they have gods. All kinds of gods. But what God is it that has demonstrated himself as the living God? The one true God. The one that, not this generation, but the generation before, brought them out of Egypt. For this generation, the ones that brought them across the Jordan River at flood stage on dry ground. Not only that, if shortly before this, that time, they defeated Sihon and Og on the east side of the river. Not only that, but God had been feeding them by miraculously with manna. And having crossed over the Jordan River, they come into a land where everything is provided for them. It's like, think of it this way. Think of it, if you win the prize of being able to walk into any supermarket that you want, and you can fill four shopping carts full of whatever you want. And it's free. Wouldn't that be fantastic? God has brought them into a land where what He is giving it to them. In fact, the first city they went and got, Jericho, what kind of work was it for them? All they did is walk around the city. And God opened it up, and then they decided, no, this belongs to God. So then they went further up into Ai. And in Ai they defeated, they won the victory there. And all the spoils were theirs. All the food, all the clothing, all of everything. It was theirs. It was a gift to them. It was a free gift to them. God has proved Himself as a living God, as effectively intervening in Israel's victories. He's proved Himself to be the powerful God. What God can tear down walls like God can? Let's go down into a local store and pick up a little idol. You go, maybe if you've been at the mall, you walk by, there's a place, there's a tea place, and they do their nails and stuff that way. You always know when you go by that one because it stinks. And you look and they'll have a little Buddha there. Some sort of God. We went down Sorensen and saw that there's a place where there's a either for Buddha or a Hindu on the south side of the road. If you take one of those and drag it because it doesn't have feet, it can't move on its own, drag it over to a wall and set it there, the wall won't fall down. Because a rock sitting in front of another rock will not cause another rock to fall. Their God is a fake dummy God. It's not a living God. It's not a powerful God. But what true God is a powerful God. He is a good God. He has kept His promises. In verse 14 it says, "Behold, this day I, Joshua, am going the way of all the earth," that is, I'm going to die, "and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you, and not one word of them has failed." God has brought to you these promises, and of all these promises He's brought to you, you name one for me that He has failed in. None of them. Not one single one. See, God is good that way. He makes His promises and He keeps them. But He is also a just God. Remember when they went to Ai? And they got to Ai, and when they were there, they found out that when you sin against God, there's a penalty for it. That's why the first time they felt defeat. God has done such a tremendous work for them. He has done no little thing for you either. Think about the greatest thing He has done for you. Well, the greatest thing He's done for you is your beautiful bride, right? Or the wonderful house that you live in, the fact that you have a vehicle that runs, the fact that you can open your fridge and there's not much of an echo, the fact that when you go to the cupboard there's at least dog bones and peanut butter to eat. God has always been good and provided for you in various ways. You consider that. And it was the greatest thing that He sent Jesus Christ. Now let's just do something in our own strength like others have. And so we perhaps by the grace of God that's never recognized to Him, go and get ourselves a good job, or we start a company and we work really hard and build it up and get employees, and we're making decent money. And we've accomplished that. We get ourselves a great wife or a great husband, as the case may be. And so you get that relationship that way, and you have kids and you raise them up right, and they become doctors, lawyers, and rich people to be able to support you in your old age, because that's what kids are for. And so you do that. And so you have all this stuff that you've done, okay? So you've accomplished it, at least in your own mind. And then you die. And you stand before God. He says, why should I let you into my heaven? Oh, well, God, you know what I did for you? I worked real hard in my life. I gave to charities. I went to church. Maybe I was even baptized in a church. I did all kinds of things for all other people. I employed 490 employees. And that way I provided for them families and that way. And then I've done all these things so that way my kids grew up right. And I'll say, that's nice. Let me look at your record. Oh, you've got sin. What'd you do about that? Oh, but God, look at all the good things I did. Well, that's okay, but you've got sin. I went to the van the other day. I think it rained the next day, actually. So, you're welcome. I washed the van and waxed it. And then when I waxed it, I could see all the marks of all the vehicles that have scraped up against the car, you know, with their either the car doors or when, you know, if they try to park there, that I don't know what the deal is, but there's scrapes on that side of the car. And when I waxed it, they all came right out clear. I said to myself, you know, if I go to sell this van, that's going to hurt. I mean, I could show them, oh, look at the tires, or look at the windshield, look at the beautiful paint job on the other side of the van. I could say all those kinds of things. But in truth, what's really going to stand out? Now, I'll be honest, if I saw a van that way, and I would say, well, I know what you're asking for, but I want a reduced rate. Look at the side of the van. It looks terrible. God's going to look at your record and say, uh-uh, there's no way. But He sent Jesus Christ to do for you what you could never in a million years. No matter all the advancements that we make in medicine, no matter all the advancement that we make in technology, no matter how far a planet that we send man out to, it doesn't matter. None of it will erase your sin. Only God could do that through Jesus Christ. If God has done that for you, do you think it is such an insignificant thing that you say, well, you know, that's nice, but... God is no little thing to choose God. God has done no little thing for you in sending Jesus Christ. And all the blessings that you have in this life, it is no little thing, because God is tremendously faithful, tremendously gracious, tremendously good. And being so, we should be able to trust Him. We should follow Him with all of our heart. We should do what He says in chapter 23, verse 6. Therefore, be strong and be very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Do not turn to the side, to the left or to the right. It says, lest you go among these nations and follow their gods. It says, don't mention the name of their God. Don't cause anyone to swear or bow down to them. You shall hold fast to the Lord your God as you have done this day. Chapter 24, verse 14. Of all that God has done for you, it says, you have to make a choice. He says, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him, verse 14, in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems to you, evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Decide. So which God will it be? Will you choose today to follow the God who has done all these great things, or are you going to go back to those false gods for which your fathers served and they suffered for it? Will you go back to the Sinai and worship that golden calf, reform and worship that golden calf, that piece of gold which couldn't walk out of a fire, which couldn't save itself from being pounded and ground up and thrown into the river? Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. For us, we have to choose. The gods of our fathers are those false gods of materialism and money and power and attention. Miley Cyrus has been in the news very recently, very often. She's received a lot of exactly what she wants: attention, popularity. What she should, unfortunately, she's not receiving is a lot of shame for her activity. Miley Cyrus has become a popular name among the kids. Justin Bieber, he's another popular name. And he has done some pretty despicable things. We're talking about what we might do as a theme camp theme for next year. Well, it hasn't been decided on yet. And one of the themes that they'd had in the past that had come up was superhero theme. And you look at the superhero themes that kids go to now. Back in the day, now for the kids that are here, don't get too nervous. As far as those that were your parents and their very young grandparents, it was Elvis and the Beatles. You thought yours were bad. You should have seen them. No, I can't say that. The role models that are chosen are those people that are terrible role models, or sadly become terrible role models. There's some role models that look pretty good, but then you get stuff comes out about their life, or they change the way they appear, they change the way they want to be known, and it turns out that they're rotten role models. Here he says, what role models do you want? Do you want to choose the gods of your fathers? As far as us today, we were unsaved, what were our gods? Was it the alcohol? Was it the women? Was it our own lust? Was it our own anger, bitterness, strife? Was our thievery and the way we cheated other people? What were the gods that we worshipped before? Don't go back to them. He says, you figure it out yourself who you're going to serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Parents, he said, as for me and my house. That is, anybody living inside my four corners of the planet, they have to serve the Lord. That means you can't go to, you can't say, well, I'm not going to church because I don't feel like it. then you don't say, well, they're old enough to make their own decision. No, if they're under your roof, you make their decisions. When they're on their own, then they can make the mistakes and the errors. And you drag them to church. You don't say, well, clean your room, and they get to the point where they don't want to clean the room, or it's a real hassle that they don't clean the room. And so you say, well, I don't want to put up with the fight. I had a mom elsewhere, that said they don't want to put up with they choose their own battles. It wasn't worth battling over. Well, you're basically telling your kid, well, certain things, I'll just let you do whatever you want. It is worth battling over by teaching them to honor their parents. And so they don't clean their room, so there's consequences to it. We need to, he says, as for me and my house, that is, as long as their bodies are sleeping in my house, they must serve the Lord. There's no false gods allowed. That is, there's no posters of the bad role models. That is, there's no this music that is preaching to you that you should, about money and how money is the greatest thing, or about women and putting them in such a denigrated way. There's no worship of the God of sex. There's no worship of the God of money. There's no worship of the God of friends. There's worship only of the one true God. That's where you ought to be. And in our own hearts, it has to be the same way. We have to knock it off with our own worship of our own stomach. We have to knock it off with a worship of our own pocketbook. We make decisions based on what we think we can afford, rather than what does God want me to do? Who runs our life? We do. Who should run our life? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must choose. We must decide. There's wholehearted devotion that we should have to the one true God. But what happens when we don't? All you have to do is turn the page one. I got to do it twice. There's an introduction in my Bible. Twice the book of Judges. And you can see what happens when every man does right in his own eyes. God says, all right, back to the woodshed again. Joshua here is speaking to the people that are following him, the Israelites. He speaks to all the elders, and then he speaks to all of Israel. He tells them, here's the line. Which side of the line are you going to stand on? Is your life going to reflect the fact that God has done no little thing for you? Because it is no little choice to choose to follow God. He says, if you don't believe in God, then don't worship Him. Don't be half-hearted in whatever you do. But if it is the Lord, then worship Him. Follow Him. Don't let the book of the law depart out of your mouth. Do everything. Be very courageous in a land where there's still peoples you have to conquer. But be courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. What happens when we're courageous to do what God wants us to do? Well, I believe that the promises given to Joshua are a principle for us today. Prosper in whatever you do. You'll have good success. Here he says, don't turn to the left or to the right, lest you go and follow those false gods, wherever they may lead you. He says, as one man, you shall chase a thousand, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you. Verse 11, therefore take diligent heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Ten commandments, or all 613 for that matter, will boil down to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Then to love your neighbor as yourself. We find that is recorded not only in Exodus and Deuteronomy, but also Jesus says it in Matthew, also recorded in Luke. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Though all my neighbors, they go for the rest of the world. Though even though there may be strife in my house, men, you have to set your foot down. As for you and your house, you will serve the Lord. And your strength and your courage will come from the Lord. Why? Because you'll meditate on God's Word. You'll put your heart into God's Word and learning it and living it out in your life. So that way the very words that God said to Joshua become adopted by you. To be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all that that Moses, my servant, commanded you, and do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, but that you may prosper wherever you are. This book of the law shouldn't stop coming out of your mouth. Whenever I do that, I think to myself, the way the word picture for it is vomit. When you got the flu and it just can't keep nothing down. God's word should be, it sounds gross, but vomit should constantly be coming out of your mouth. Teaching and exemplifying. That you may, but meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. How can your family have the type of success and prosperity God wants it to have? Only by choosing yourself whom you will serve. You're here, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, sincerely have put your trust in Him alone. You have the promise of heaven. Israel was given the land of Israel. But when they strayed from God, there's consequences. Joshua says, you don't want those consequences. In fact, not only during Joshua's time, but those elders immediately after, those leaders immediately after, they served the Lord with all their heart. But sadly, it was the next generation who did whatever they wanted in their own sight. They did not see the success and prosperity God gives. They saw the pain of discipline. May we, as His people, not know that pain of discipline, but put God's Word in our heart in such a way that we will be strong and courageous living for Him. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would help us this day, that we will choose to serve you. It's a choice that we make. We made a choice. We had a choice when we received Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. And Father, we choose how faithful we are to you as our Lord. I pray, Almighty God, that you would be with us, that we might honor you in everything that we do, that we will choose to serve you. We know all that you have done, you being the living and powerful and good God, also a just God, having done no little thing for us by sending Jesus Christ on our behalf. Father, even beyond that, you've been so good and faithful to us. Keep providing for us the things that we have, granting us the good health, even the opportunity and blessing it is as we spend time with you.